You know, I rode out here about 50 years ago on a little dun horse and started a film career. Picture called The Big Trail. Well, I made quite a few since then. Some good, some bad. Matter of fact, in those days...
CITR!
Matter of fact, they come in pretty handy anytime. It's kind of nice to know you have something set aside. So if you ever figure on that, remember that...
CITR!
Can be mighty helpful.
Yeehaw!
Yeah. Good afternoon. You tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. This program is called The Burrow on every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. Hosted by myself. My name is Andy. Thank you all for tuning in. Broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. Repetition by Other Jesus kicked things off. Repetition, a relentlessly horrifying philosophical topic. If you do any research into it whatsoever. Poor Form was right before that. These two are related. Poor Form played a show this past Saturday, at Redgate, along with a couple of other bands, one of which, the headliner from San Francisco, was a band who was recommended to me by Katayoon of Other Jesus, who just released their new full-length LP called Everything is Problematic. This band from San Francisco, who played on Saturday evening, they are known as Quaaludes, which is not just the name of a dangerous pharmaceutical, but also this all-female riotous punk group from the Bay Area. I was able to sit down with the band before the show this past Saturday evening, and recorded an interview with them, and so I'm going to go ahead and play that for you all this week on the show. So, just to get right into it, we're going to hear some Quaaludes off of their most recent release. They're working on some new material, but from last November, an LP called Nothing New. This song's called I'm For Them, and then you will hear my chat that I had with the folks from Quaaludes. Stay tuned. This is The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM.
I'm As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
In Redgate? Before a punk show that's going to happen tonight, it's October 24th, hanging out with Quaaludes all the way, it's not that far, but from San Francisco. How is everybody?
We're doing good. Hi.
Do you just want to go in a circle and introduce yourselves, maybe say what you do in the band?
Sure. I'm Susie, I play drums.
I'm Courtney, and I play bass.
My name's Amy, and I'm the singer.
I'm Morgan, and I play guitar.
Great, and you guys are on a tour right now? Is that correct? Is it just a Northwest tour or going anywhere extreme that you haven't been before?
Just a Northwest tour. It's definitely our first time in Canada as a band, which is pretty exciting. We did maybe about 6 days in Southern California earlier in the summer, and we kind of resolved that we were going to come up north this time around. So it's a short jaunt, but we're really excited to be here. And it's just like Portland, Seattle, Olympia, Vancouver, pretty much. Playing Portland twice.
What do you think of Vancouver as the San Francisco of Canada? Have you gotten those vibes yet?
We're also talking about kind of like the rent prices, and that's what a lot of people talking about. It's a really easy subject to talk about. Like we could relate to other people here right off the bat. So in that way, definitely relatable, and people, you know, getting pushed out. You're not able to live so central in the city as much.
Geographically, all the water too, obviously, is like very similar to San Francisco. And even just before we came here, we were at the house of one of the members of SBDC, and like we were even talking about how similar the housing was, because it was like pretty much like a Victorian. Like it smelled like a house, like a friend's house that we would have like back home. I don't know, it was cool. It was like there's lots of little weird similarities, like parallel universe. I don't know, it was kind of strange. It was cool.
How is the music scene nowadays in San Francisco? Is there a nice underground scene happening, or any special bands that any of you might be involved with or friends of yours that are going on right now?
There definitely is a scene there. I would say it's kind of fragile, because from month to next, people might be getting evicted, or they're moving away for like more opportunities in another town, or if they were in San Francisco before, they end up in the East Bay. So we all kind of keep in touch. Most bands do kind of stick together, and there's a lot of people who are in bands that are like with people that live like, you know, in other towns or cities. Like I know a handful of people who are actually in active bands with people that live on the East Coast, which is kind of weird. But I mean, there's definitely a scene there. A lot of people say that it's dead, and you'll meet plenty of people from the Bay Area who will tell you that it's dead and there's nothing going on. And I know I'm guilty of telling people that too. But really, I mean, we're all kind of there trying to stick it out, you know, until they push us out, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. We have lots of friends playing music, and
yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely still a lot of good music and a lot of good venues still to play in San Francisco. I mean, it is getting harder, but there is like a few every once in a while, like a few like places that are now like hosting shows that are like houses. Like there's that house our friend, you know, Gustavo in the Mission, he is having shows there a little bit. So that's kind of like a cool like underground like there's house show scene. But
and then Thrill House Records has kind of been the independent punk record store in the city for a good probably like 7 years or something. But they stopped doing shows for a while because they were running them in the basement, and they were getting a lot of kind of like bad attention from like the fire department and stuff. 1234 Go in Oakland is great for all ages shows that you can find out about easily on the internet. Like they post their shows everywhere, and it's just an all ages space you can go to, record store. Yeah.
Is that an easy cross to make? Is there a lot of crossover between Oakland and San Fran? I know it's somewhat easy to get to, but there's a lot of bands crossing over.
I would say so. Sometimes if you're really broke, it can definitely add up, because like a round trip ticket might cost you like $7 or $8 depending on what stops you're going to. But it's usually not too bad of a pain. The main thing that sucks for us is that there's usually a lot of awesome stuff happening on the other side of the bay. But we want to make sure you catch that last train, or you have like a backup plan set in motion. There is like an overnight bus you can take, but if you're not like central to downtown, it can actually be kind of hard to catch it
So it just depends.
Yeah. There's a lot of crossover.
Yeah, definitely.
What is the origin story of Quaaludes? How is it you all met each other and started the group?
I'm sorry, what now?
The origin story of Quaaludes and how everything got started.
Well, me and Morgan, the guitarist, we met at Virgin Records in San Francisco, and we became friends and then started like jamming out and writing some songs. And then we formed a band, and then that band broke up. And then we still decided we wanted to play music together, and then formed this band. So, and then
me and Amy met through a mutual friend that I'd known for a handful of years, and Amy had known already for a handful of years, but we didn't know each other at all. And randomly went to go meet my friend at a house show, and then Amy was there too. So we ended up all hanging out together, and we were together for like several hours, and it wasn't until maybe like the last 10 or 15 minutes we were hanging out that we like got to talking, and I was like, oh, like I play drums, like my band just broke up, you know, so I'm just kind of, you know, just hanging around. And Amy was like, oh my God, I'm in a band, I need a drummer. And it kind of just started from there. We like exchanged information, and I was just like, yeah, whatever, like maybe we'll play music. And then Amy hit me up like a good, I don't know, like 3 times or something that week, and we like, talked a little bit. She like sent me songs. It took a couple weeks, but eventually we like met up together, and it was Amy and Morgan, and we had another bass player at the time who was with us for the first year, and then we got Courtney on board when our original bass player moved away.
So the previous bands, I assume, are just indie pop bands, and then you became a punk group.
Is that the stereotype? Right?
Yeah.
Kind of graduate to punk.
The bands I was kind of in before were all kind of like they all varied, but they were mostly like just different varieties of punk. Like I was in kind of like an art, like a really dorky, like pretentious high school like art punk band, and then definitely did like a bunch of like 77 and punk and metal type stuff, and then. This is probably the most active band I've been in a long time, which is nice. It's also really cool because it's like the second band I've been in that's all women. The first band that's all women that I've played in that only plays like original music, which I really like. So that's really cool. It's definitely a different dynamic that I've enjoyed being a part of.
So is that something you take some pride in, being an all female band, or is it something that you don't want to see even noticed by people, or is it something that you want?
I'll definitely take a lot of pride in being an all-female band.
For sure. Like, I mean, I think like, there's some people talking about this issue and like the controversy of like, oh, like we're a band, we play music, and we just want to be recognized for our music and nothing else matters. However, I think, you know, it's like, I don't think we're not fucking there yet. You know, we're not there to the point where we can be like, just only recognize me for my music. I think we still have a long way to go. And I think just, you know, if we're passionate about something, you might as well just, you know, be proud, you know, just use our platform and just talk about the issues that are true to us. And we deal with a lot, you know, different issues. And I don't want to just, like, brush it under the rug and pretend like it doesn't exist. And so I try and... crush that stereotype, yeah.
It's funny because we definitely deal with a lot of situations where people use the, you know, are like essentially the fact that we are a band of all women to kind of write us off, like, oh, well, they're just a bunch of girls. But then we'll also meet other people who, you know, consider that like an empowering factor. That's what usually happens, but every now and then we'll get someone who's like, wow, you guys play, you know, really hard for ladies or whatever, and it's kind of ridiculous, but I don't know. It's weird, you like almost prepare yourself for that, kind of. I don't know.
We haven't really experienced that in a long time.
Too much.
Like,
I think we've...
That was kind of one of the things we like talked about when we were like, oh, like when or if we go on tour, like we might have to like deal with some of these issues that come up, and we're just trying to like prepare ourselves and how to like deal with that when it comes up. But
we've also probably kind of learned like what shows we actually do want to play and what we don't want to play. Yeah. Like, I don't know. We have fun pretty much almost anywhere we play, but there's definitely been those situations where everything was like a little too boisterous, you know, and there were some ignorant people involved and that sort of thing. But I don't know. I guess you just kind of like learn along the way, and I don't know.
I think also we were pretty like versatile like as a band, and we could get put on different shows and be with like hardcore bands that didn't have any women in any of the bands, But now it seems like we really are trying to just like play and play shows that are represented by women. And
yeah.
So now it almost seems weird like when I do go to a show and there are no women in any of the bands.
It's a lot more obvious.
It feels really weird.
I used to not. Yeah.
And it's like if I go in and playing a show, I like, you know, look at the crowd. I'm like, okay. I'm like, if there's a lot of, I don't know, male energy, I like have to prepare myself of like maybe having to kind of maybe take control or tell people to kind of simmer down or something, because it can happen and it can get out of control really fast. And if you just kind of just let things blow over and don't say anything, sometimes it's just, you know, you regret it the next time. So I try and be like, okay, maybe, you know, just prepare myself to say something. But yeah.
And when thinking about things like that, it's always comes back to like the Riot Girl movement of the early 90s. Are those big influences on you as a group, or are there other early punk bands that maybe you grew up listening to that you want to mention?
I mean, I think it's fair to say we're like all pretty influenced by like 90s Riot Girl and kind of what came from that and all the other bands that were influenced by them. But then, like, I think individually we all draw, like, as, you know, as performers or musicians or whatnot, we all draw from, like, our own influences and that sort of thing. Like, I grew up, like, listening to a lot of Blondie, so Clem Burke is one of my favorite drummers, just in terms of, like, just being a rock and roll drummer. I think he's, like, the best. So, I don't know, you kind of, like, learn to draw your influences, you figure out what you like and try to incorporate it into something that you want to stand with, kind of, yeah.
I think lately I've mostly been obsessed with like Kleenex and the Modettes and more like 70s girl punk. But.
And I really, I like Huggy Bear a lot right now. And then, I don't know, just like people who like aren't afraid to kind of like experiment different things. Like, always like Patti Smith as a vocalist is always really influenced for me. But yeah.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
There are a lot of things you're not allowed to grow in your basement in Vancouver. Vegetables are not one of those things.
SPEC and the YWCA are excited to introduce the Urban Farmer Field School. The UFFS provides hands-on training in sustainable agriculture, small farm business planning, and community food action.
Class instructors are experts in urban agriculture, food systems, and plant mind control. The integrated curriculum is divided between classroom theory and practical learning.
For more information, please visit the interweb and search for Farmer Field School at spec.bc.ca.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Formally trained musicians or a singer here, or is it all DIY?
Does karaoke count?
Karaoke could count. Depends on what it is.
I took lessons for a couple years when I first started. I come from a family of musicians, but they all either sing or play string instruments. So I grew up singing, but my mom tried to get me to learn guitar for the longest time, and I never stuck with it, which obviously I regret now as an adult. But drums, I tried drums. I love drums. Begged my parents to get me involved with drums, and like after a couple years of doing that, my dad essentially ran a mechanics shop, and next door to it was a drum teacher who taught lessons in a studio there, and they were able to work out a deal where they were able to give me like lessons for really cheap. So I started in high school there, and I just kind of loved it and stuck with it over the years. So only a couple years of lessons, but it was definitely a good platform. Felt good. Yeah, it was empowering.
I learned how to play bass 6 years ago, and I took guitar lessons in high school, but didn't really stick to it, and just kind of like would try and teach myself different things. But once I like picked up the bass, I was like, this, I really like this. Like, it just feels really right. But I grew up taking piano lessons, and so I had like music really early on in my upbringing.
So the last release, at least that I saw, came out late last year. It's Nothing New. Is there anything new on the horizon? Any recording that's being done?
Anything new?
That's such a loaded question.
That's the idea for the next album. No, just kidding, though. We recorded another 7-inch, and so it's already recorded. It's been, metal plates have been made, but it has to be now formally pressed.
We recorded it earlier in the year with the intention of it hopefully being out by the middle, but everything got so backed up at the plants, and so we're still waiting on it, but it's our friends, Johnny Cat Records out of Portland, that are going to be putting it out, and it's for a series of 7-inches that they're doing. So we still don't have an official release date on that. Hopefully it'll be sometime in the next 3 months. But in any case, we've written a bunch of new stuff since then even, so hopefully the next plan for us recording-wise would be to do a full length and probably get to recording that sometime in the first couple months of next year. Yeah.
Are there in San Francisco, are there any places or things that you can mention that someone from the outside would not typically think of when they think of San Francisco? Any weird or underground things about the city that most people wouldn't know or that isn't part of its typically assumed aesthetic?
I guess a really obvious one is just, there's a lot of parks in San Francisco, so for a while you could get away with a lot. In the various parks, I don't want to go too far into it, but like, you know, people would have generator shows and that kind of stuff. And, you know, with the way that the city's changed, especially over the last few years, they're harder to have without cops showing up pretty much. But that's always fun. It's like people trying to push the boundaries and figure out what we can still do. You know, there was maybe 10 years ago, people were having shows every couple months or so at one of the BART stations. And those were great. But yeah, you definitely don't really see that much anymore. I feel like there are things that, like, what would you guys say would be unique to San Francisco, but that, like, most people don't know about?
Sutro Baths, caves.
Yeah, I was trying not to say it, but yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, essentially people setting up, you know, a generator for a short period of time in a freaking cave. It's pretty amazing. With the ocean, like, just a few feet away. So we thankfully got to play one of those shows. And it was, like, during a time when the cops were becoming a lot more aware of it and really cracking down. So we played last on a bill of four other bands, one of the bands being Other Jesus from Vancouver during their first trip down. And it was fun. We only got three songs into our set, and then the cops showed up. But they were actually really cool. They were like, listen, you have to leave. Otherwise, we actually do have to take your gear, blah, blah, blah. But you have time to grab your stuff. Just, you know. And we totally did that thing where we're like, we're just going to keep playing. But then, obviously, that was, like, not an option once the cop actually grabbed the mic.
Yeah,
and
he was on the mic. And I was like, what?
Yeah, and we're all broke. Like, we, like, don't want to deal with that. You know, not having our instruments would probably be pretty traumatic. So, but it was fun. You know, so stuff like that does happen. People that come to San Francisco, you know, it's definitely not the San Francisco it was 10 years ago even, but there's a lot of cool stuff still happening in the East Bay too. The East Bay is huge, so I feel like that is an area that's, like, constantly changing, you know, whether it's for the better or not, you know, not necessarily, but people, artists, the creative class there, I guess, is, you know, doing a lot, so there's cool stuff to see there. Yeah,
it sounds very similar to Vancouver, getting into some of those things, lots of parking lot shows or random shows that'll get shut down almost invariably by the end.
Yeah.
But then people trying to do lots of house shows around and still kind of thriving. On the way up here, I assume you're all driving during the trip. Any strange stops, weird out of middle of nowhere places that are interesting mentions?
We stopped at that gas station, just, like, the last one we could before getting in line for the border.
Peace Portal.
Yeah, yeah, Peace Portal or something. Yeah. It was small. I mean, it definitely had that feeling of, like,
out the window.
Yeah, it definitely has that feeling of, like, where people went to, like, to figure out where they wanted to, like, you know, ditch the body and stuff. It was weird. But it was cool. And then,
so it's, like, intentionally placed right before the border so that you can just get rid of it.
You can only imagine the weird stuff that goes down there.
And then in Portland, we went to that. Was that karaoke bar called?
The Alibi.
So after our show, we, like, went out, and we just, like, it was the first night, we just, like, did it up. We went to the Alibi, this, like, tiki karaoke bar.
It was cool.
In Portland. It was really cool. And we get there, it was really late. It was, like, what, like, 1:30?
Yeah.
And I told you, like, I like karaoke. So as soon as I got there, I was like, okay, like, I know my song. I just went straight at the DJ, and I was like, here's my song, put it in. I was like, let me do the song. And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, come on, let me do it. And then I came up to everyone else. I was getting all aggressive. I was like, everyone, put your songs in now. Right now. I was like, maybe. And if we tip them, and I was like, blah, blah, blah. So then he goes, okay, listen. He was like, I can only do your song. I was like, shit. But I was like, okay, fine, I'll take it. So then I did Pat Benatar Heartbreaker. And then, like, I was also pretty gone at that point.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
From San Francisco to Portland that day, pretty much had, like, an hour break, and then played at the No that night, and then immediately just kind of kept going. So, like, that's, like, what Amy was going
through. That's the way you have to do it, just no rest.
Yeah. Yes. And then I took, like, a chair and did, like, some moves with the chair, and then I got on top of the table, and then he did this funniest thing where I was like, Heartbreaker, and then he, like, turns down the music just a little bit, and I was like, what? And he goes, get off the table, very monotone, and I was like, oh, and I was like, okay. So then I got off the table, but then he turned it right back up, and I was like, ah, you know. So he was still pretty chill, but it was funny though. Yeah,
that's good. So Pat Benatar, the go-to. Do you have go-to karaoke songs?
For that night, I put in Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love, but I sing it in a different way. There's a Sonic Youth music video where Kim Gordon is doing that karaoke song, and I just kind of sing it more in her way, which I just really like.
I put in, that night, I think I put in Denis, the Blondie song, just because there's, I don't know, I was like, I was a French nerd growing up, and so that's, like, one of my favorite Blondie songs because some of the lyrics are in French. But then if I probably wasn't doing that, I'd probably do, like, Lita Ford, like, something really obvious, like Kiss Me Deadly or something. But I think I would much rather have seen Courtney do Addicted to Love. I would rather have seen that.
Speaking of Kim Gordon. Book, Girl in the Band.
I want to. Full disclosure, I've tried to get that book, but the paperback edition only recently came out or it's coming out very soon. I just haven't been able to throw down like $28 on a book.
Yeah,
and I have extreme library fines.
I know.
So
me too.
I have
library
right
fines.
Yeah.
I have super bad library fines. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to ask because it's, I don't know. For me, minor disappointment. But I mean, I guess it's an interesting story to hear, I guess, but there are some parts of it where it just kind of drags on. Any figures that you would want to see write a book that you think the story needs to be told?
I would love to hear, I mean, just because I grew up on this stuff, but I was like definitely a big Replacements fan growing up, and it would be cool to read like Paul Westerberg's autobiography. Like, I would love that.
Did you watch that movie? They put out a Color Me Obsessed.
Yeah, I did. I totally did. I went and saw it in the theaters when it came through San Francisco, and I definitely enjoyed it. I loved that they didn't use any of the music. You know, no, I don't even think that was there photography? I can't remember, but I know that it was, you didn't hear any of the band members' voices the entire time. It was all just people who were, like, moved by the music, and I just thought it was really well done, the way they just, I don't know, the way the movie went along. I was entertained the whole time, so it was good.
Yeah. I think I've just been really bad about reading for the past couple of years. But Alice Bagg, she's been writing a lot, and...
I still have to read.
I haven't read any of that yet, but I definitely want to check that out soon.
Yeah. Violence Girl, I would say, is probably my favorite autobiography from the last like 4 years or whatever. It was that. I feel like that's really interesting, just because one, she's in LA, so she's talking about all the cool punk stuff happening in the late '70s, but also it's like from the perspective of her identity being Mexican American. So I thought that was really cool. I don't know. It was just another take on. Stuff you hear and read about all the time, but you don't really get to see, like, one individual's actual experience. I don't know. So it was cool.
And I really like the band Lush. Mm-hmm. And actually, they're going to be reuniting, coming back, or at least to New York. But I would really, if they put out, like, an autobiography or
cool.
All of them, or just, like, their experiences, like, as a band, touring, different things, I would be, like, super into that. Yeah.
I think the other week we were at, a matinee show at Thrill House, and Jenna from Joyride was like, if any of my friends had an autobiography, I would love to read it. She's like, I would read all of my friends' autobiographies. So
that'd be cool.
That's an interesting point. You don't think about that much, but like,
oh,
that's good. In the brief time you've been here in Canada, are there any strange things that you've noticed, or just small little tweaks that make you realize you're not quite in America? Virtually are, but not quite.
I feel almost like really dazed, like out of my element, but everything here is very familiar in a strange way. So like, I think earlier I mentioned like the whole parallel universe thing. But I also am like surprised by my own ignorance, because like we were like literally sitting in like these people's living room. They were like making us food. It's like so awesome. But then I would like notice little things that they did, or just the way they talked, like having a great time. And in my head, I'm thinking like, Canadians, they're just like us. And then feeling like an idiot, because that thought ran through my head. It's like, yeah, obviously they're just like us. It's like, what's the big deal? They use a different currency, and like, you know, they buy their alcohol in a different way. Like, what's the big deal? You know, but it's exciting. I'm stoked to be here.
So that's the thing we did wrong. We did not buy beer before we came here. Yeah. We did not know how expensive it fucking was.
Yeah, there people will go like to Seattle quickly to do like grocery runs. Yeah.
So that's the thing. And then we went to this liquor store right down the street from here, and it was okay. I mean, just happened, but
it's
kind of an overwhelming experience, because we're like, okay, we got to get the money, and then we're like, all of us like, how should we do this? We don't want to get all these fines. And then also at that liquor store, I guess, people can come in and, you know, give them cans and then get money right away. And I've never seen that before. You know, I mean, it seems fine. But it's just, that was something I noticed that I've never seen before.
At a liquor store,
yeah.
We definitely, like, we have a lot of recycling drop-off locations in the city. And
yeah.
A lot of people going in and taking recycling. But seeing that, like, at a store, like, in the same...
No hassle at the border? Any problems?
It was amazing.
No, it was really easy.
It was amazing. Oh, we were literally... we were inching our way up to the agent, and I remember Raven was, like, scrolling through my phone before our service got turned off, like, looking up tips of going through the border, all this other stuff. Earlier in the day, I was like, we need to roll down the windows, let the car air out. Like, we don't want any weird weed smell or anything. Like, just trying to figure out what worked. Courtney had a bunch of vegetables in her cooler, because she's making sandwiches. Oh, and I was like, we need to do something about those vegetables.
Serene the cucumber, like it was like a carrot. Like, yeah, pretty much.
The bell pepper, like an apple.
And the bell pepper, like an apple.
Yeah. But it was so easy.
It was so crazy.
You just asked us like a couple questions. We had a lot of forms too that we brought and like printed out beforehand. Yeah. So I think we were like well prepared.
Everyone's told us that they've relaxed a little bit, which is kind of cool. I've heard so many horror stories of people getting stuck there for hours and then still getting denied. And then even last year, I came through briefly, and they made us pull over, and it still took an hour, even though we had paperwork and stuff. This guy did not give a fuck. Yeah. He was like, he literally asked us two or three questions.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the sketchiest question he asked.
And he had all your gear and everything.
All our gear, everything. The sketchiest thing he asked us that could have been a problem, he was like, is anything that you're carrying going to be staying in Canada? And we paused for a second, and then we were like, no. We totally could have been like,
and then I was like,
we're like, merch, it's promotional. You know, like, we were like so ready to answer that in a different way, but we just said no, and he let us go straight through.
Yeah,
we were so excited.
Yeah, it was like a scary moment, but but it was like, and like once we got over, we were like, woo, and then it was like, oh God, we were so nuts after that. I was like, look at all this stuff, like this bridge is weird. And I was like, the sky is weird. And I was like, that person is weird. Yeah.
Amy was like, the sky.
It was like a whole new world. I think also that build up of the border, like it was like, it was like, whoa, you know.
There's maple syrup everywhere.
I know.
It's just coming out the trees, just everywhere.
I know.
How is the time killed on the road for the band? Any go-tos?
Lots of DJing, making lots people rotate,
snacks.
Lots of snacks. We should have honestly written
Cheez-Its. Oh, I haven't had Cheez-Its in ages.
Whoever owns them, because they should be buying us Cheez-Its, because we're talking to everyone about Cheez-Its on this trip.
We even called our tour like the
Lick My Cheez-It. Lick My Cheez-It tour. So we've been eating a lot of snacks. Been chilling, talking, making jokes, pulling pranks.
We have Krista too. She didn't come up here to Vancouver. We dropped her off in Seattle before coming here.
Yeah.
But she's been really awesome and
road
doggy. Like, really positive and fun, and we all laugh. And Susie's been really hilarious.
I know.
The car we rented a car to come up because we didn't really have any other choices or whatnot. And there's five seats available. There's a lot of gear in there, but five seats that are open. And the one of the last seat is in the very back. You're by yourself. We call it the sassy seat because it's like you kind of have to speak louder and you have to make sure people don't forget about you. Like, yeah, so that's a topic of conversation for sure.
I mean, I brought a lot of art supplies. I have like some zines, so I like fold. I mean, I remade them, but I folded a whole bunch of them. Like the first day, I was like very productive. Now I'm like trailing off. But like I folded a whole bunch. I like made like the merch sign, and like I tried to make some other art, but I didn't like it. So I'll try again later.
Yesterday we had like maybe an hour to kill before any of the bands were even going to show up to the venue. We played for free at Club 21 in Portland. And there was, like, a Dollar Tree. It was already 9, but there was a Dollar Tree, like, a half mile away. And we were like, look, please be open, please be open, please be open. So we drove there. On the way there, I almost ran a red light. Like, we were just being loud. Of course, we got there. The freaking thing was closed. We were all pissed off. And we went back. And, yeah, Morgan has been riding around on her skateboard, which makes us look really cool. So that's really awesome. So has Chris done stuff. So that's been cool. I don't know. We just killing time. It's been fun.
So are there side projects that any of you do? So you mentioned you make some zines, and you want to talk about those a bit?
I make a few zines. I have like one called Bad Girls Gone Sad, and it's like a more like personal diary zine, or just about, it's like kind of like, you know, feminist and just about everyday things and thoughts. And so I've made two of those, and then made another small one called How to Be a Punk, and it's just like pretty self-explanatory. No, but no, actually you have to read it, but it's more so for San Francisco punk, I guess. Like I talk about specific things in San Francisco or things I think about. And then I like been DJing a little bit more now. I'm not like very good yet, but I've been like DJing. People like offering me shit. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm like, yeah.
I'm in another punk band that I sing in. It's called Schleim, but we're thinking of changing the name. I've been in this band now for like a year and a half maybe, and it's just like we've all come to the conclusion that we don't really like the name anymore. But and then besides that, I've been doing like a lot of screen printing, and we've really like expanded our studio, which is also in the basement of Thrill House, and made all like Quaaludes merch down there and like other bands and just like whatever art and sell it in the store. And I've been doing that.
I definitely, mostly in my free time, kind of just been going crazy with music. I regularly drum in two other bands. One of them is called Remnants. We're kind of just like a late 70s kind of like throwback kind of, or even like UK 82 kind of punk. I'm in another band called Cold Beat. I'm drumming for them, which features Hannah, who used to be in Grass Widow, and Kyle, who's like in Neon Piss, and who I know they've all been up here a bunch. But that was really fun. So the first time I actually came to Canada was last year on one of the Cold Beat tours. And since then, we got to do like an East Coast tour earlier in the year, and yeah, just been playing around and stuff. So that's been fun. So just staying busy with music, and then outside of that, I've been just trying to save up money. Good chunk of my family lives in Latin America, and I haven't been able to visit in a long time. So recently got a second job. So I work at a natural foods pet store and at a museum, which is really fun. So kind of just work and music, and then I just try to see my friends on the side. And I'm trying to learn bass, which is exciting because I come from
a Blue Bear school for that?
I am essentially poaching one of their teachers who lives a block away from my house and paying him less because he's down to do that. So hopefully I'll be learning a string instrument and able to impress some of my family who I've shamed for so long by hitting things for music.
Then Morgan has her own solo project too called Garbage Eyes, and it's like, it's really amazing. It's pretty mellow and experimental. She uses like looping pedals and samples, and she like makes like her own beats like there, like on the spot, and uses that. It's really cool.
I'll straight up say she's probably the most real authentic member of Quaaludes, in the sense that she's like into the coolest shit and she's into it 100%. She's like really into botany, so she knows tons about plants. She collects spiders. She does all types of really cool shit. She gardens a bunch. Yeah.
All right.
She's heavy on the riffs.
Hard.
Yes.
All right. About wrapping up here, if I were to fill out an hour of a radio show with this interview on it, are there any, could be any song requests that you want to put in? Maybe I'll put some Lush or Replacements and some of the other projects you're part of, but do you have any, maybe as a group, song request?
Say like X-Ray Specs.
Yeah.
Still some like Bikini Kill, La Tigra in there.
Bratmobile.
Some Bratmobile. Some like Blats.
You mentioned Kleenex earlier. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Huggy Bear.
The Janitors.
Pretty much almost anything female fronted. We talked about Alice Bag earlier. The Bags would be great. There's like a really great contemporary band out of Spain right now called Juanita y los Feos. And they're great, like really good melodic, like fast stuff if you like. It's like pretty much if like the Spits had like a female drummer and like their songs are like slightly more melodic. I mean a female singer and their songs are slightly more melodic. They're great. There's lots of good contemporary stuff out there.
Van Lier from here, Vancouver. We've played with them a few times. I really like them. So I would request them, like the song Sorry, like that song.
Yeah. And also like even like every Gloss. I mean there's so many good bands out there right now. Vex, also a Corey band. Yeah. There's a lot of lots of good stuff out there.
My friend Sorry Not Sorry, Krista, who's on tour with us, she's hanging out waiting for us in Seattle. Her band Sorry Not Sorry. So they're a really cool band too.
All right, well, thanks so much for taking the time sitting down with me here. Good luck with the show tonight. Any more stops on the tour, or is this the far reaches? So you're going back down.
So you'll be in Seattle tomorrow at Vermilion Gallery with VHS and Display. Yeah. And then Monday we're playing in Olympia. It's called like Media Island Radio Station, but there's going to be like a few other bands playing, and so it's going to be like a live performance and on the radio. And then filmed for public access television, but it's going to air like later.
They're calling it a televised punk show, so one can only imagine what insane, how that night will develop.
All right, well, yeah, thanks so much. Good luck. Hopefully the 7-inch can come out in the near future and with any new record that will be coming out. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Tonight, it's my turn.
1, 2, 3!
All right, y'all, it's the night you've been waiting for. CITR 101.9 FM's first karaoke night of the year. Do you want to belt out that jammer from 1993 that you've been reserving in your notes on your phone for a special day in which karaoke is being presented by the campus and community radio station? Or do you want to just watch other people rock out to weird tunes and enjoy the spectacle from a distance? Either way, come down to Kerner's Pub on the UBC campus this Wednesday, October 28th at 8 p.m. for a free karaoke party and a guaranteed wild time with your pals from CITR.
Your friends are here to see you. Get off the computer, will you?
Hey, Timmy, do you want to come out and shoot hoops with us at the park?
You know what? I'm actually busy playing on the computer right now.
Whatever. You never come out to play with us anymore. Let's go, guys.
30% of young adults are prone to stroke, and this statistic is on the rise. Stroke prevention starts early.
Are you sure you don't want to play? My cousin's in town and he's playing too.
Strokes can be prevented by regular exercise, a healthy, balanced diet, and sleeping well.
You know what? I'm coming too. Wait up for me, guys.
Follow UBCHSF on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for regular tips on healthy living.
Strong heart, strong start.
Now repeat after me. Bugger off. Bugger off. Sod. Sod. Bloody. Bloody. Now put them all together. Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Okay, you're in.
Let's smash things up.
Every Saturday, from noon to 1 p.m., listen to Generation Annihilation on CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio in Vancouver.
You have been tuned into CITR 101.9 FM, a program called The Burrow, on every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. And if you have been tuned in, then you heard an interview that I did with a San Francisco punk band called Quaaludes this past weekend. They played here at Redgate. It's a good show, lots of energy from the band, at least. You know, when you go to Redgate, sometimes you're going to be there at 1:30 a.m. Sometimes, you know, you're just a little bit tired. Anyhow, the band was pretty stoked, pretty riotous, and it was a good show. Poor Form also played. Always good to see them. Thank you so much to the band for doing an interview with me, and thanks to Kat from Other Jesus for recommending them for an interview and helping get me in touch with the group. During the interview, we heard a couple songs, some Lilliput, some Blondie, some classic tracks there. Lilliput / Kleenex, the band formerly known as Kleenex, group from Denmark, I believe, back in the mid-70s. Now, the band, at the end of the interview there, gave me a lot of requests, a lot of recommendations for songs, but the interview kind of went a little bit longer than I assumed, and so I don't have all that much time left. So what we are going to do is just crank out a couple. I'm going to play some Lie, who they mentioned. Of course, Lie from Vancouver. Consent, one of my favorite local releases of the year. Play a song called Sorry. And then to wrap everything up, Juanita y los Feos, which is a band that Susie from the band mentioned. They are from Madrid, and it is very good modern punk music coming out of Madrid. I don't know what it means. Somebody, please tell me. Juanita y los Feos. We're going to hear the song Vallecas off of their record Nueva Numancia. Alrighty. Thank you all for tuning in. And stay tuned for Jade with Little Bit of Soul coming on next. This is Lie with Sorry on The Burrow, CITR 101.9 FM.
Can you tell me something about Louise? You should know you robbed her. You tell me something about Louise. You should know you read her up her.